Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're already working on getting Dick Russell, the co-author with Jesse Ventura, of 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. And I would call him, from many perspectives, kind of a classical mainline liberal. And of the 63 documents, the only one in here, and I think it's all still informative, that I don't really agree with being put in the book, and we sell the book and promote the book, is the Koch Industries document. And it says, if not us, who? If not now, when? And it goes on to say, you know, join us twice a year for our network of leaders trying to promote a free society. And then you read the code, attracting principal leaders and investors who will effectively defend our free society, sharing best practices and opportunities to defend our free enterprise system from destructive public policies, fashioning the message and building the education channels to reestablish widespread belief in the beliefs of the principles of the free and prosperous society. Compare this to Cass Sunstein and his memos. Arrest people that disagree with us. Get people's guns. You know, White House science czar. Put stuff in the water. Sterilize people. The Koch brothers, from what I've read of these meetings, put out a lot of really good information. See, this document comes from Think Progress, you notice, which is George Soros connected. And they just don't like it that there are some old-line conservatives that are out there putting a little bit of their money into resisting the globalists. But it doesn't matter. They resist with a Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity type thing that, torture's good, drug war's good, wars are good, just don't raise my taxes. And so, all this sounds really great what the Koch brothers are doing. It's just kind of silly when you realize that they're not really implementing this stuff. And it's even more silly than when you read the book in this one little document of 63, it's a few pages, that you read all this stuff and most of it sounds like really great ideas. Ooh, dirty, bad. But then you read the stuff coming out of George Soros and the stuff being pushed by the, quote, left arm of the globalists. People always ask me, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? Well, pick whatever term you want. If you go back to Thomas Jefferson, you know, he was seen as a liberal, classical liberal. And I would identify with almost all the views of Thomas Jefferson. Today, he'd be considered a right-wing terrorist extremist. These terms don't really mean anything. Are you pro-liberty or anti-liberty? Yes, I'm pro-gun. Yes, I don't like abortion. Yes, I'm for private property rights. Yes, I'm for lower taxes. People say, well, you're a conservative. Well, I'm also against torture and all these illegal wars and the lies that take us to war. So I'm against it when Obama does it. I'm against it when Bush does it. I mean, I'm the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Occasionally, you know, I slightly change views as I learn more. But overall, I'm the same guy. My job is easy. Just tell the truth. History's pretty obvious, pretty clear. The globalists are clear on what they're doing. And so when Bush is in office, I'm a communist, the media says. And now that Obama's in office, I'm a right-wing extremist. And it's all meant to put things in little simple stereotypes so people don't engage in complex thought processes. That's all that's happening. And so when we get, and guys, remind me if I forget when he's on. When we get Dick Russell on the next few weeks, because we were already lining that up. In fact, maybe we'll just try to get him this week. I will commend him on most of the book. But I didn't want to, you know what, in the punch bowl when Ventura was on and even get to this. Because, I mean, this is like a shout-out, kind of like a bone to kind of mainline liberals. Their religion is shaking under their tables and beds at night, afraid of the Koch brothers. And mainline Republicans is shaking under their bed from the Muslims. They're going to get them. But George Soros and all his funded groups, I mean, they're just mad that somebody's out there not going 100% on their agenda. And there's become kind of a fight between the Koch brothers, Fox News, against and vice versa with the Obama in 08, Hillary Clinton, Clintonista. I mean, the issue is, if you follow the real policies of Democrats, it's communism to transfer your wealth to the international fascist system. See, communism delivers to the fascists, not communism and fascism fighting with each other. Cameras, black uniforms, secret police, high taxes on the general public. Hitler had it. Stalin had it. And so at the end of the day, people try to put us in a box because they just can't even figure out reality. But we'll be right back.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Oh, the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Here we go. The Spring Break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of fat burners for just $99. Spring into health for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember,
sorry, if you want it, here it is, come and get it, but you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's GetTheTea.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Talkers Magazine is the prestigious, and there's a lot of good ones out there, Inside Baseball, Talk Radio, publication of decades. And I was on the cover of last month's Talkers, and I'm the keynote speaker at the two-day event. But I was noticing in New York on June 10th and 11th, I'm the keynote speaker Saturday, and it's... says that the evening before, there's the 8 to 10 p.m. cocktail party. I guess you've got to get drunk before you meet Sean Hannity. And then I guess after he gets off Fox News, he comes over there 10 to midnight. Sean Hannity will be hosting dessert party. needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, I'll probably be in Little Italy or something that night getting some good food. Not that I don't want to be around all these radio people, and I'm honored to be going and being the keynote speaker, but they've got me there to explain why I'm exploding and most of these other talk show hosts are imploding. And it's simple. You know, we had our earlier caller, and I get a lot of these calls. Am I a left winger or a right winger? I'm an issue driven person. I'm against abortion, not Republican or Democrat. I'm against lying and launching all these illegal wars for empire. Is that Republican or Democrat? Say what? I'm against torture. I'm against open-air genetically modified organisms that are spreading into the biosphere. Is that liberal or conservative? I'm against the private Federal Reserve vertically integrating our economy and raping our population. Is that liberal or conservative? No, I'm a constitutionalist. And 230 years ago, I would have been called a liberal, like Thomas Jefferson. When Bush is in office, I'm called a communist. When Obama's in office, I'm called an extreme hard righter. I was on Tom Hartman's TV show last week. Now the hard right talk show host, the extremist, it's ridiculous. You know, Obama's supposedly a liberal, but torture, wars, police state, Patriot Act, it's all expanding. They act like they're fighting with each other, but the agenda rolls forward. Republicans and Democrats got rid of Glass-Steagall in 99, allowing the derivatives. Republicans and Democrats don't want to reinstate Glass-Steagall. They want to continue, unless you're talking about a Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich. So, to oversimplify it, Democrats are basically at the top communist, who transfer the wealth to the offshore fascist. They say they're anti-war, but expand just as many wars as Republicans. They say they're anti-torture, but they love it and push it. They say they're anti-secret arrest and military tribunals, but they push it. Republicans love war, love torture, love death. That is the mainline ones. They say that's tough and conservative when it's the opposite. Conserve means conserve our values. The founders were not for any of that. And so when you get down to real policies, except for football issues, they pass back and forth, gay marriage and stuff, there's no difference, not a dime's worth of difference. And so that's where I stand on all of this. But on actual issues, you read the Republican Party platform of Texas for two decades or more, I agree with about 98% of it. It sounds like something Ron Paul wrote. But they don't implement any of that. The rhetoric's one thing. So I guess some say, oh, well, you're a Republican, because I tend to agree with the rhetoric of Republicans more. The difference is I actually try to deliver. So that's basically it. So I just thought I'd make the joke about Sean Hannity. Who knows? I might go to all these events while I'm there and talk to these guys, but I want to be friendly while I'm there, though, and then that almost feels dirty. But I don't know. I can learn a lot of intel while I'm there. So I might just put on my corporate attitude. I don't think I've ever done that. But just go in there to learn and bumble around with these people. But I will imagine that it's going to be like they're basically inviting, in their view, the Wicked Witch to the Lollipop Guild meeting. Of course, from my perspective, there'll be many Wicked Witches there, and I'm from the Lollipop Guild. But we're going to see what happens at this event. But, I mean, it's the CEOs of Clear Channel, Premier, all the big networks, CBS, NBC, Jones Broadcasting, all of them are going to be there. And I've been told by the folks that head up Talkers, they've got a lot of requests for me to be there. So why I'm being invited to this, we're going to discover. Well, we know why. It's because of our incredible meteoric explosion. And because the system's getting scared. I mean, they realize that talk radio's lost less than broadcast TV or cable TV. But it's losing out as well. Not just to the internet, but because people are so sick of partisan-driven politics. I think that's what Talker says. It says, Alex Jones, keynote. And it says, Alex Jones will serve as the keynote speaker at the New Media Seminar 2011. He will share insights into internet success and suggest alternative approaches to issues, talk programming, and terrestrial radio outside rigid partisan formats. Well, I'm partisan for liberty. I'm partisan for family. I'm partisan for free market, real free market, not a bunch of bankers changing the laws to be able to sell derivatives in the market and then have government sign on to it. Too big to fail. I'm against this corporate fascistic system that uses socialism to scoop up the wealth. All right, let's move quick now because I want to go to Bill, Extra, Ian, Dustery, if I'm pronouncing that right, and Clayton and others. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alex. I predict after you give your speech in New York that radio in this country will never be the same again because I believe you'll be creating a cadre of followers of radio broadcaster followers who are going to imitate your success, which will be a good thing, even if they're not sincere about it. So I think it'll be...
No, I mean, I've been told that's why I'm requested, is that they're basically, like Glenn Beck did, going to take a lot of what I do and then basically twist it into whatever they want. But I think some of them will actually wake up and go all the way.
Well, I think a good portion, if any of them have any intelligence at all, and they look at all the research that you've done over all these many years, as well as all of your guests, your esteemed guests that you've had on over these many years, they'll see that it's all 99.9% accurate. So I really do think it'll be transformational, and it'll really change things in this country from that point going forward. On another point, I actually have two more quick points.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding Beck, I found him just to be entirely unwatchable. And I just couldn't follow what he was saying. He would change his logic from one broadcast to the next. And
that's why the main reason they say they canned him was that it was a confused message. And, I mean, one minute he's talking about myself in imaginary XXX disease type stuff that I can't even describe, and the next minute now he's our spiritual leader and Paul Revere. I mean, I'm sorry, folks, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, his behavior was at times very bizarre. And I also found it despicable that he wouldn't allow you to appear, and I would imagine it was a Judge Napolitano's show. I found that really, like, low, and, like, it showed his true character, in my opinion.
Well, what I was told previously on other shows is Glenn Beck doesn't like you being on here. He causes a lot of problems. I'm not going to say the name of the – it's multiple shows. And then other ones were he'll come after producers if they do. And then I had multiple guests say, well, Glenn Beck, I first came on your show, but now I want to – I was going to go on his, and I was in the green room, and he said, listen, don't go on Alex Jones anymore, or I'm not going to have you on here anymore. And so he definitely – that's the whole point behind the scenes. But now we know why. He says he's going to have these grassroots info warriors on the streets. He's going to go mainly internet. He's threatened because he basically needs to get rid of me or suppress my rise so that the bona fide real McCoy – real product doesn't show up what he's doing. I mean, it's real simple business from his perspective. And,
yeah.
Trying to block me from going on Fox, trying to do things like that, it shows that he basically is watching our every move.
Yeah, but it also shows that he doesn't have any real message of his own. And we out here in the listening and viewing world, we can see right through that. And I think most people will see through that, and that's why you saw his demise, his ultimate demise at Fox.
Yeah, you notice that came after all those big articles about him twisting what I do, and I was told that was an ingredient in it. But it was also him losing the entire young audience. Like he says his new plan is to reach the young. Folks, the young are not going to follow an effeminate fairy over the edge of a cliff. I mean, I'm sorry, does Glenn Beck radiate true surety or masculinity? No, he doesn't.
Right. In any event,
you notice he attacked me from an effeminate fairy. He said, I'm an effeminate fairy. That's because he's an effeminate fairy, and he knows it.
Yeah, I mean, and it was very, it was just immature. It was meaningless garble, is the way I saw it.
Well, he was starting to do some good with people like G. Edward Griffin on, but that's done in desperation to get the Liberty market as they see it.
Right. And my last point is that you had mentioned that you have, on one of your last shows, you had said that many congressmen tune in to listen to your show during the lunchtime. And I thought, I was thinking, in light of all the overwhelming evidence that you and your guests have compiled regarding the treasonous activities of so many who have falsely claimed the label of American citizen, don't you think this would be a good time for these congressmen to come forward and to begin the process of seeking prosecution of these traitors?
Well, I had Bruce Fein, the big constitutional lawyer endorsed by Ron Paul, on. He's circulating articles of impeachment. And I have had a lot of congressmen on over the years, during the break will say, yeah, I listened to you on this station or that station, or we listened to you over the internet at the Capitol. In fact, I'm having one of those moments. Who was the congressman from Tennessee? I know he listens almost every day when he's in the district.
Cohen?
Sorry, say it again.
Oh, I'm thinking of Cohen from Jesse Ventura.
No, not Steve Cohen that went after the show. I know him so well. I'm having that point is I never interviewed him before. We got him on as a guest. He said, yeah, we listen to the show almost every day. But I've had a lot of congressmen tell me that, and it's shocking. Because, I mean, I don't see myself as some, big, huge, wonderful guy. I'm just somebody here telling the truth. People call in and say, oh, you're such a hero for fighting tyranny. Folks, I'm in this chamber as well with the poison gas coming in. We got to get out of this new world order. I mean, we hang together or hang separate. Thank you, Bill. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us, then. Colonel Anthony Schaefer.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Alex Jones here with key information. The U.S. government is a Ponzi scheme that relies on the Treasury continuously selling large amounts of government bonds to foreign central banks. With Japan about to become a seller of U.S. bonds in order to rebuild its own nation, and the U.S. antagonizing China by calling them currency manipulators, the Federal Reserve, which is already buying about 70% of U.S. treasuries, will soon be the only buyer left of U.S. treasuries. Our friends at the National Inflation Association believe that the U.S. dollar will soon become worthless, and Americans will see the purchasing power of their incomes and savings destroyed. I strongly urge my fellow Americans to sign up for the free NIA newsletter at www.inflation.us. If you are sick and tired of the economic propaganda and the mainstream media, sign up for free at inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part? This $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Look, turnabout's fair play. I don't like sitting here talking bad about Glenn Beck, but he is leading his listeners into a dead end or over the edge of a cliff. We're trying to get people to not follow us, but to wake up, see the world through their own eyes, but to start really questioning what's happening, and then to get involved however you see fit. We're going up a mountain against the enemy. I'm not asking you to get behind me. I'm asking you to get beside me. And, you know, as for, calling Glenn Beck an effeminate fairy, that pull up Urban Dictionary, a male who acts slightly feminine but not necessarily means that they are gay. And I'm not saying he's bad, whatever Glenn Beck's into. The point is that watching him, seeing him doing acting lessons on YouTube, he just prances around and twinkle eyes and, you know, comes off like a theater teacher or something. And I'm not – that doesn't matter. I'm sick of talking about Glenn Beck. Okay, it's just, it's hard to not talk about him when I get compared to him so much for the political information I've been covering for 16 years. He's been anti-New World Order for three max. And I wish that he was a good guy, and I'm tired of talking about him. But we're not saying he's a broke-back pixie. And it doesn't matter. I'm not judging people. I don't dislike people for whatever, you know, floats their boat. The issue is Glenn Beck's attacked me because Charlie Sheen had gotten off drugs. And he was there with nurses and people at his house and invited me out there to help him stay sober. And I was like, you're working out. You're gaining weight. You know, you look great. And he took it out of context and said that me and Charlie must be in, you know, the shower together. This is the type of stuff that Glenn Beck talks about and is into. And I've seen other weird statements about other people. And there's something going on there. That's all I'm saying. So he definitely is living in a glass house on that front. And that's what he thinks of his audience, to take stuff out of context and go, how weird. You know, he's saying, Charlie, you're clean. What does that mean? You're in shape. You know, you're working out. Because Charlie was on a seven-month jag on hard drugs and lost like 25 pounds and was in bad shape. And he was, again, a Christian when I knew him 6.5 years ago. Now, you know, he's like, I don't want to hear about sky gods when I tell him I'm praying for him. And a lot of that's because he started hanging out and going to dinner with who's the guy that's got the show, Bill Maher. And then Bill Maher attacked him this weekend on his show. It's just, you get to be friends with somebody, you care about them. Charlie's gone through a hard time, and it's painful to see all the things he's going through, and now I've gone off into Charlie Sheen, because we never got Charlie on here 6 years ago because, oh, look, a celebrity, you know, is talking about how they like to play golf. We got him on because he contacted us, and he wanted to come on air and talk about 9/11. And I know Charlie's a good guy, and I am praying for him. He's not going to find fulfillment with all those Hollywood people. I'll tell you that right now. All right, enough of that. Extra in Idaho, you're on the air. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Something pretty important here. The rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper. What I'm about to tell you will paint a pretty clear picture of the current cover-up going on with Fukushima. Now, between 1957 and 64, in a town called Simi Valley, California, only 20 minutes from downtown Los Angeles, a sodium reactor experiment was an experimental nuclear reactor which operated from 57 to 64 and was the first commercial power plant in the world to experience a core meltdown. There was a decade-long cover-up by the U.S. Department of Energy. The detail and of the disposal was not recorded because they didn't have any disposal techniques then because it was so predated. And it looks like there's still thousands of pounds of this sodium coolant that are unaccounted for still.
Yeah, well, I was not aware of that, but I know they've got several experimental reactors here in Austin that almost nobody knows about, even though they're admittedly there. Give me the name of the reactor in the event or the name of the news article, the headline, so we can pull that up.
The facility was Rocketdyne. It's now owned by Boeing, and they tore down the facility as far as current times are. Now,
but what's the name of the article you're reading about it? Rocketdyne Meltdown, Simi Valley?
Yeah, you could just Google that and it'll pull it right up.
Simi Valley, California? Meltdown?
Yeah, Simi Valley. S-I-M-I Valley. Simi Valley.
And Simi Valley. Facility. Calling it Simi Valley. Simi Valley Meltdown.
California.
Yes,
yeah.
Simi Valley, California Meltdown.
Right, and they actually say that this was up to 240 times worse than the Three Mile Island incident. So,
well, that's the issue. They lied about Three Mile Island. They lied about Chernobyl, and now they admittedly have lied about this, and the radiation's going up in the U.S., and the feds won't release the radiation numbers and are now raising the safe levels of what they say is safe. I mean, it just shows you how out of control these people are.
Exactly. One more point I want to bring up. If you YouTube Nuclear Boy, it's a little cartoon. It's kind of brainwashing that the Japanese government released for the children to calm them down about the nuclear problem taking place. And it's just total brainwashing. I actually found out about it because my brother goes to college, and he said that they showed this to him in a class. And this is here in America. So if you actually look that up, too, it's pretty brainwashing. They talk about...
We'll pull it up, Nuclear Boy. There it is, ABC 7. Decades later, Simi Valley nuclear meltdown still impacts lives. And they go on to admit they covered it up for a long time. There you go. Another great caller. Another great point. We'll be right back with Colonel Anthony Schaefer. May have to go into some overdrive to get to your phone call. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
America, you've been warned. For weeks, we've been warning you about a single event we believe will happen in the next 12 months that will shake the very foundations of our nation. We've told you about the video that details this shocking prediction. So far, over 6 million people have watched this free video online. Have you? Again, this big event has nothing to do with war or the stock market, yet it could change everything about your normal way of life. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. Could this really happen? Well, the man who created this video has been right about many predictions in his career. He was among the first to predict the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. If you haven't taken time to watch this free video, do it right now. You may never think about America the same way again. You can find the free video at endofamerica3.com. Again, that's www.endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel who gained fame for his reports about the federal government mishandling intelligence reports before September 11th attacks and for the censoring of his book, Operation Darkheart. And instead of going through his long bio, just know that he ran some of the biggest operations against Al-Qaeda and was continually blocked from going after him. And now we have Fox News and AP reporting the head of Al-Qaeda, the head of operations under the fairy tale creature bin Laden, Amir al-Awlaki, hanging out secretly at the Pentagon, Al-Qaeda forces, even the Wall Street Journal reports, forming the core cadres from the beginning with British Special Forces and now U.S. CIA backing him up in eastern Libya. They've got another Muslim connected to the Muslim Brotherhood with the French invading Ivory Coast and going into the capital and taking out the elected president. It's in the BBC that the rebels have reportedly killed thousands with machetes and machine guns. So that's your humanitarian action. When we had Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer on a few months ago, he said from being there for years in Afghanistan, his view is we need to get out of there. Our country's going bankrupt. And now another war, and AFRICOM looks like it's moving fully into Africa. I don't know his views on the current operation, but we got him on to talk about the things that are happening and to give us his view on it. Colonel Schaefer, good to have you here with us again.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Good to be on with you again.
again, joining us via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Sir, so much is happening. You heard my preface. What's your overall view on what's happening in North Africa, what's happening in Ivory Coast, what's happening in Afghanistan? The same tactic of it's always a year more, always a year more?
Well, I think the bottom line is we have no clear policy, and therefore if you don't really have a policy, you really kind of meander around. I think AFRICOM, for example, was set up really to be a non-combat command, and I think that's what most people really focused on. Last year, my think tank, Center for Advanced Defense Studies, that I'm the director of communications for, had a Hill conference on AFRICOM, and where the focus really was, and I believe most folks thought it should be, is trying to focus on outreach and helping the countries that are really that are autonomous really find their way. And what we're, I think, finding is that no one wants to leave them alone and let them do their own thing. I think everybody from the West somehow thinks that we know better than them, and therefore we need to jump in and try to help them out. And I know the liberal community does not want us to do military things there. Frankly, I think you probably agree with me on this. We don't really have the resources to do military things there, and yet somehow we're doing military things there. So I think that's the part of the difficulty right now, is that without having a clear idea of what we're doing, we have a tendency to draw ourselves in to these military conflicts. And I think what we're seeing in Libya was is a prime example. And I don't know, Alex, if you track what I said, from day one, I felt that we were on a path to another Bosnia.
Yes.
And frankly, we don't need to do that. I mean, you know, this is a tribal issue. This isn't Libya in particular. That's not a democratic uprising. It's tribe on tribe. And now with Ivory Coast, I think we're seeing something very different, very similar, where you have two different factions and, you know, the West involving itself. And don't get me wrong, these nations and the use of machetes and hacking people, I'll never forget the first exposure I had to Ivory Coast was a picture of a guy, of a body sitting on a curve with blood spurting out of it after the guy's head was rolling on the ground. That was the first time I ever saw a picture of Ivory Coast. So these people, these tribes, have a deep hate for each other. And the idea that we're going to referee and we're going to show them the path to the proper, you know, way of doing things, I just don't think we are able to do that. And we've not been able to do that since we've been there. And the West has been in Ivory Coast, for example, since the 1880s, when Europeans all started, you know, pulling apart Africa for their own colonial purposes.
Yeah, I've read some of the old British history books about that area and how the tribes normally weren't even attacking the Westerners because they were too busy just slaughtering each other 24/7 because they'd been in, you know, 1,000-year-plus blood feuds with each other. But looking at Libya in the north there, with all of your inside connections, what's really going on there? Who are the factions? I mean, is this just PR that there isn't a strategic objective, or is there a hidden objective?
Well, the bottom line is there are two basic groups. Gaddafi and his folks, you might have seen my friend Congressman Kurt Weldon's over there right now trying to help get him out of there to go somewhere else. And there's the groups from the east who really were loyal to the monarchy. And don't forget, Alex, you know, that 42 years ago when Gaddafi came to power, he dethroned the monarch there. And for better or for worse, during those 42 years, Gaddafi used his resources, which are primarily oil-related, to benefit those tribes who were loyal to him and basically cut off, make life miserable for those who didn't support him, and that included most of these old tribes. If you look at just what's going on, the banner, the flag that the rebels are using is the old monarchy flag. So what we're seeing here essentially are groups of tribes, one loyal to Gaddafi, and if you noticed that everything was going well regarding the rebels going until they went to Sirte. From Sirte on west, you have a group of towns, for better or for worse, whose tribes have stayed loyal to Gaddafi because they were benefiting from all the resources.
And we also have those eastern tribes with these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of year-old blood feuds. The rebels have been caught lining people up, shooting them, cutting them up. So the Gaddafi loyal forces don't have a choice but to fight because a lot of them are going to be slaughtered and executed under this new government.
you are spot on. And that was one of the things that people continue to miss. It's not like we're jumping in to help a group of good guys. We're going in with, and I know some folks have been upset with me by saying this, but we've chosen sides. We've chosen the rebel side without really knowing what we've chosen. With that said, what's going on there, obviously, is that we were blind there, Alex. The brutal truth here is that our intelligence community is so broken. And the State Department was so diverted doing other things, we had no idea what was going on there.
But, Colonel, if I knew this from studying things 5, 6, 7 years ago, just, you know, because I'm into studying different regions and geopolitical things, it's hard to believe that the government and the CIA, doesn't understand this and hasn't broken down, you know, all the different tribal angles. And then I read about the main rebel leader admittedly was once held in some type of black site, and it brags that he sent al-Qaeda fighters to kill Americans in Iraq. I mean that's all in the mainstream news.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem here. Al-Qaeda, I do believe, whatever you want to call it, has become a franchise, not a real well-organized organization. I think that whatever you want to call Al-Qaeda is trying to take advantage of the situation in Libya and other places. With that said, I think we're jumping in there for two reasons. First, I don't think we know what's going on, so I think out of desperation almost. And let me say something that's going to make me probably very unpopular with some of my friends. General Clapper, the current Director of National Intelligence, doesn't have a clue about what's going on there, let alone other places. So I think there's an old saying, I think it's a Japanese saying, you know, the fish rots from the head. I think we have folks who are primarily politicians first, intelligence professionals second, who are running the intelligence community. Because as you just pointed out, there are people who track this. And I know for a fact there are good men and women in the intelligence community, people like me, who try to do their job and try to say, hey, there's something we need to be paying attention to. But if the political winds aren't just so, they're told not to do it. So I think you're seeing the outgrowth of our inability to actually look at what is real. And so I think you see the administration trying to play catch up. I think, unfortunately, the way the State Department's interpreting all this is an opportunity to jump in with these folks. I don't think it's an opportunity. I think it's one of those things where I don't necessarily believe that Gaddafi should stay. However, the devil you know is in some ways better than the devil you don't, because I think there would be huge ethnic cleansing, just like, say it again, Bosnia, what happened in the Bosnia-Herzegovina situation.
Or Rwanda.
Or Rwanda. And this is where I think we should have not interceded the way, you know, and frankly, we're not doing a no-fly zone. It's more like a demilitarized zone, because we're hitting targets on the ground. The Air Force hasn't flown since the second day of the no-fly zone.
And notice since the ragtag NATO people, who are never in real wars, have gotten into command, they're just bombing anything moving. It looks like mainly the rebels. And I want you to speak to that. But what about this issue of the $34 billion to $37 billion they're saying they're going to give the rebels? They're giving the al-Qaeda mixed group, the central bank, the oil company, and so if this did go the way Obama and NATO are trying to get it to go, we're going to have a new Islamic republic there. You've already got the, quote, quasi-new government, even in the New York Times reporting, in Egypt, that is saying they're going to have, just like Iran, the modesty patrols.
Right.
I mean, you're saying the Pentagon, the CIA, and the White House are really that dumb that they don't know they're about to hand Libya over to Muslim extremists?
Well, the alternative is that they know what they're doing, and that makes it even worse. I think the bottom line here, and let's talk about Egypt for a real quick second. I feel terribly about how we treated President Mubarak. I mean, he was no saint, but he did a lot of things to settle that area down. Yeah, I understand that was probably a real legitimate democratic reform movement. The only thing that kept that country together was the Egyptian military, which was trained by us for better or for worse. With that said, I we've allowed that to kind of go on, and maybe it's best to kind of go in their own direction to figure out what's best for them. However, when you look at Libya, it seems like we've almost pushed things further than they need to be right now, because I think the bottom line in Libya, and as you mentioned, we've not paid well good attention. And Alex, can you imagine the fact that our central bank, the Federal Reserve, loaned the Libyan bank a lot of money during the bailout last few years? So it's kind of like, why are we, you know, supporting all these folks? And now we're talking about money going to a rebel group who we don't fully understand. We don't know what their loyalty is going to be. And if I were them, I would take the money and do whatever the heck I want, no matter what we think that they're going to do.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, weapon systems to people. I saw that West Point report from a few years ago that just got attention in the last 2 weeks where they broke down that Libya per capita was the greatest deliverer, not Afghanistan, not even Saudi Arabia, to real jihadi al-Qaeda fighters.
Right.
And that's our ally in the East.
Well, and that was part of the problem. And I was talking to some of my friends down at Central Command, and they pointed out to me when this all first started that, you know, we essentially did not go deep enough in trying to understand what Gaddafi was doing during the time he was in power. And up until this decade, they've still been running training camps in the western part of Libya, training radicals, training terrorists. And so they've almost, I think, taken advantage of the fact that they had this capacity to train terrorists, and they've become kind of a terrorist training center, if you will. And because Gaddafi was smart enough to give up his weapons of mass destruction, at least most of them, he was able to cut a deal for himself. So basically, we're still, you know, kind of going in with these despot leaders and still, you know, not really understanding what the end effect
sure.
is going to be.
Well, Colonel, what does that say, though, that Mubarak, a 31-year dictator propped up by the West, not saying it's good, but bringing some stability, he's stabbed in the back. He says, I won't step down. The White House says, you will step down. He magically has a stroke, never seen again. We now have Gaddafi, 6 years ago, makes a deal, hires U.S. PR firms. Bush says we're now basically leaving him alone. He gets bailout money of taxpayer money under the table. He's now, with the African Union, agreed to transition power and leave in the next few years. They're saying no to that. What message does this send? Now we see Saudi Arabia in the Times of London saying, we want to make a deal with Russia and China. We don't trust the U.S. anymore. We now see even Jordan freaking out. I mean, this overall, the method of the madness here is a destabilization of the entire region.
Well, I think there's a fundamental reason why we are so badly looked upon there is, frankly, goes back to the end of the Cold War. Everywhere else in the world, once the Cold War ended, we kind of backed off and let things be. Europeans, if you've noticed, we've downsized greatly. You know, we're talking about having just a small amount of troops in Germany now. I think the Germans at first wanted that. Now they're not so sure. I think they want us to stay there somewhat. Same in Asia. We really backed off. The only place we've really been doing anything in the way of terrorism stuff, anti-terrorism stuff, is the Philippines. And frankly, they've asked us to come in and help them with that. So that's not really a big deal. The problem with the Middle East, though, is that because of our own interest regarding resources, we kept a very heavy boot on essentially the throat of a lot of the people. And not we so much, but those individuals, those dictators we worked with. And I know this is a harsh thing to say, but it's essentially the truth. We, in our own self-interest, sided with the individuals, those leaders of those countries, which treated the people very badly. So, surprise, surprise, not really. You've got the people now seeing us in the same bad light as they've seen these dictators, and so we are part of that process. One of the great ironies here is that the Iranian people, a lot of the younger people, they like us. They like the idea of freedom, and one of the reasons that they have wanted this Western lifestyle and what a lot of the West stands for is because they don't see us, the U.S., as part of the very restrictive regime there. So we are seeing the end results of, I think, some policies which we knew going in may be tough for the long term, but we decided to seek short-term goals of trying to seek resources and things to sustain our economy rather than understanding better and trying to deal with the long-term consequences of instable of populations which are, for better or for worse, looking to be free.
Well, looking at the end game here, briefly, what would you have done with Libya, A? B, looking at the real policies and this quagmire with the politicians now saying he must go, they've thrown down the gauntlet. Now we have this U.S. general saying, yeah, ground troops may have to go in with the troop ships off the coast. I mean, I think the real policy here is they're probably going to, quote, put in a humanitarian backup force.
Well, it'll be called peace support if it goes in. That's the military term for it. But with that said, first off, I agree 100% with Secretary of Defense Gates that this was ill-advised. We just don't have a sufficient knowledge of understanding everything that's going on to jump in. If you wanted to do something, if we had to do something, I would have done two things differently than President Obama. First, the moment the Arab League said, we support the humanitarian aspects, I would have said fine. I would have notified Congress, implemented the War Powers Act. I wouldn't have gone to the UN. I would have just acted, set up this no-fly zone. And then, Alex, what I would have done at that point in time is demand Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other Arab nations step in. And this is a big mistake we always make. Those nations are as rich as any nation has ever been, those larger Arab nations.
Saudi Arabia has a gigantic military.
They do. And so I don't understand it. And if you recall recently, within the last few weeks, Qatar actually bragged on itself by saying, well, the Saudis have deposed their own leadership, so we're here. So I would have picked the Qatar or some other nation to take the lead and make it an Arab force going in there to deal with Arab issues. Otherwise, we're the ones who look like an imperial power. We're, instantly, if you recall, right after this all started with our lead, the Arab League said, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. So, we need to get out of the middle of this.
And then if the Arabs say, well, you've got to help us spread democracy, well, great, then you do it. That's what George Washington said, just stay out of it. But when we come back, Colonel, you probably wouldn't have ever even done this, but we'll let you answer that question and see if my guess is right. First is what you would have done, then we'll talk about in the final few minutes what you now think is going to happen. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. His new book is Operation Darkheart.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. The earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster that killed thousands of Japanese citizens is nothing compared to the devastation that could be caused by hyperinflation that will soon hit the United States and could lead to millions of Americans becoming homeless, all caused by the devalued U.S. dollar. While the mainstream media continues to ignore inflation, our friends at the National Inflation Association provide a free weekly newsletter that educates Americans of the facts and truth about the U.S. economy and inflation. I urge you to sign up at the NIA's free newsletter at www.inflation.us to learn how you can not only survive, but prosper during the upcoming hyperinflation crisis. Silver has more than doubled since the NIA declared silver the best investment for the next decade on inflation.us. The NIA's team of expert economists are happy to answer any economic questions you have about inflation, debt, currencies, real estate, precious metals, and commodities. Visit inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need My Pillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, My Pillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. My Pillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. My Pillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
All right, final segment. Retransmission coming up at InfoWars.com and blasting out on wonderful AM and FM stations all over the country. Be sure to support those local station sponsors or sponsor the show. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer's with us for a few more minutes. His book, Operation Darkheart, much of it got censored. Of course, it's been a bestseller on bookstands everywhere. What's the best website for folks to visit, Colonel?
Two of them, you can always go to our think tank. We've done a lot of work, and basically we have something called Radicalization Watch. We look at where things are happening. As a matter of fact, I was taking a lot of information out of our report on this very issue today before I came on with you. www.c4ads.org and OperationDarkHeart.com is my book site, so you guys can check that out there, too.
All right, we're almost out of time here. We appreciate you joining us. We've already answered, you know, the question of, well, if it had to happen, what would you do? But bottom line, would you, if you were the president, would you have gone along with this operation?
No, not the way it was planned. Much like military operations, like comedy, it's all about the timing. I think the timing was awkward. I think the policy is still very unclear. And, you know, I'm sorry, I disagree with Secretary Clinton and President Obama. Our objectives are not clear. Clearly, this was not a short kinetic thing. I knew that the day this started. So I think we need to be much more realistic. And for better or for worse, I think Congress needs to have a say in this, since they're the ones who appropriate the money and pay the bills. So.
Well, sure. I mean, you still are, in the reserves and can be called up active duty any time, so you can't say much about the commander-in-chief. But I did have the constitutional law scholar who's circulating the articles of impeachment on the Hill and getting some traction, Mr. Fine, last week, and he pointed out that this is Caesar crossing the Rubicon. No consultation with Congress, nothing. Just the UN says attack, and we say absolutely, and within 36 hours, the bombing is on. He's saying this is an impeachable offense.
Well, I've been critical of President Bush in a number of things over the past years of, during the time I've worked within DOD. But frankly, when President Bush decided to go to war with Iraq, he sought congressional support first, then he went to the UN. I think that is the proper way of doing it. And frankly, I don't know. I'm not a legal completely. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I do study law a little bit. I don't understand how it was legal to use that amount of appropriated money. And keep in mind, this had to come from somewhere. $1 billion has been spent in the United States name, in our name, going into to do what we're doing in Libya. And I just don't think that congressional leaders have proper ability to assess this. And I'm sorry, this is war. And I don't know what else to call it when you start using that level of force. And you did have military objectives one way or another. So anytime you have military objectives, to me, that's a war.
Congress does the taxes, the spending, the war, and more they become ceremonial. In closing, how do you see this ending on the current trajectory?
Well, unfortunately, I see us meandering down the path we did with Bosnia. Somehow, I believe, unless Gaddafi is able to leave within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in for a long haul like we did with Bosnia. I predict that we may be there for, another 5-10 years at the rate we're going, unfortunately.
And they already launched cruise missiles into his compound. I mean, that breaks international law right there, trying to assassinate him, and they say they're not. This guy's got a long history of staying dug in. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
So what do you think about the different generals that have been in the news saying the ground troops are ready?
Well, I think clearly, militarily, Alex, there's nothing we can't do. I do believe that we have still the strongest military in the world. Unfortunately, having it and using it are two very different things. I still believe we need to finish work in Afghanistan. Iraq, I'm reading, is not as stable. I think that's an underreported news area there. I think there's a lot more going on than the American people really understand. I think it's why the Pentagon now, if you recall, recently has talked about rethinking our departure this coming summer. So the big thing, Alex, and I think you and I would agree on this, we need to agree upon what our national interests really are and then set that up as our policy and go from there.
And the Congress needs to then come up with that and then hand it to the executive to execute. The Congress is like the football coach and the president's the quarterback, but he can't do anything without being handed the play. Colonel Schaefer, thank you so much for spending time with us with the book Operation Dark Heart. We'll talk to you again soon about the Iraq situation.
Thanks. Take care.
Stay with us, folks.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.